good morning this Good Friday. Today we journey to the cross through prayer, reflection, and readings from the scriptures. Jesus, arrested by a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees, being brought before Annas and Caiaphas, then to Pilate, the governor, who, after questioning him, said, "I found no basis for a charge against him." In response to Pilate, the priests speak those telling words, "We have no king but Caesar." And on Pilate presenting Jesus to the people, including the chief priests and their officials, they cry, "Crucify him." He's taken away to be crucified. As we've heard, crucifixion was commonplace in the Roman Empire. It was an horrific form of punishment that led to a cruel death. It was the ultimate humiliation of a human life. And on this day, we remember that it was the ultimate rejection of Jesus. What do we see when we consider the cross today? There are many interpretations, ranging from tragic failure to triumphant victory. In this short reflection, I'd like us to see two things. Firstly, this shameful act for what it was, the failure of humanity to embrace the beauty of our Creator in the person of Jesus Christ. John tells us he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And to see in the cross the God who loves us so much that he would endure the worst that humanity could place upon him, choosing not to command angels to rescue him or to save himself, but rather to endure and to suffer there with us and for us. God came to be with us, in his Son, in the world, not separate from us, not bringing about our salvation through a distant plan, but present in the world, in the very worst of it, in the evil of it, in the suffering and the pain, being with us. The beauty of God embodied in his Son, rejected by those in whom God had invested so much. And his love, so great, demonstrated by his presence, his humility and his self-sacrifice, his love unfailing, his mercy and grace extending to all, however sinful, depraved, and abhorrent. The Bible, from beginning to end, tells us of the deep desire of God to be with us. In the beautiful Garden of Eden, when the man and the woman disobeyed God, they hid from him. And God, in his love for them, came looking, "Where are you?" He comes searching for his treasured creation. He was with his people in the tabernacle and later with them in the temple in the Holy of Holies. He was with them throughout their wanderings in the desert, in their arrival in the land that he had chosen for them, and with them in exile and in their return. And then he came in the person of Jesus, like us, with us, in bodily form and likeness. He came for all people, pointing to the day when he would be with us and will be with us, and us with him forever. The eternal presence of God in the fulfillment of all things in his new creation. We have to face the cross. The Christian writer Samuel Wells describes the cross in these terms. The cross is a harrowing exposure of the depravity of our sin, a definitive demonstration of God's perpetual purpose, a unique revelation of God's wondrous love, an ultimate disclosure of our destiny with God, and an astonishing invitation to be with Christ in paradise. It's all that. It's all that. The being with of God through the pain and suffering of Jesus on the cross gives us hope, even in the face of our own pain and suffering and of death itself. In his suffering on the cross, Jesus empathizes with our suffering and with death itself. This image, and I appreciate you will not be able to see that particularly well, but look it up online later if you haven't seen it before. It's the World Press photograph of the year. The photographer is Amber Bracken, and in it she commemorates the children who died in the Kamloop Indian Residential School in British Columbia, Canada, an institution created to assimilate Indigenous children who were taken, often by force, from their parents. This all happened in the mid-19th century onwards, and many of these schools were actually run by the Catholic Church. Children were subjected to physical, mental, emotional, and sometimes sexual abuse. Through the use of ground-penetrating radar equipment, as many as 215 bodies of children were discovered last year in unmarked graves in the school. And the local community, in shock and grief at their discovery, have chosen to erect crosses along the roadside and dress them in children's clothing to commemorate and personify the lives of these children. And what you see there is a cross with a red dress hung on it. There are some with shirts on them, the clothing of a child. It's a striking and moving image, and it reminds us of the horror that these children went through in their short lives, and yet in this act, it is somehow redemptive. They are remembered, not forgotten, treated with respect that hadn't been afforded to them during their lives. We must not look upon the cross on Good Friday and airbrush over the pain and the cost. Let us not sanitize the cross, masking its horror. It has to be uncomfortable for us. It should reach the core of our being. If it isn't, then we've missed what it's about, because it represents the worst of us, and none of us, as we've just seen, have clean hands. It was painful writing down our sins, wasn't it? Facing up to the sins of our lives and knowing that we can only move on with forgiveness, we should feel that discomfort when we see Jesus suffering for us. And Jesus took up his cross, the cross that only Jesus could have borne. It was horrific, and it cost him everything. But let us not view the cross as a distant event that happened to Jesus alone. And this is where it gets personal. This is where it gets real and uncomfortable for us today. For when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." And immediately following that proclamation, Jesus said this: "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. I'm confident that most of us in this room and perhaps watching online also will say that they know who Jesus is. They have confessed with their lips that he is the Messiah, the Savior. And so he says to you and to I, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And it's the cross that only we can carry. It's the cross that God has for each one of us. In response to God's love, we are to carry it. What does it look like for you? I don't know. But as you seek him, he will show you. Perhaps it's a specific calling that you have been given to follow, to take up a position of responsibility in your workplace, in society, or a calling to go and to be with others to bring the good news of Jesus. It might be to devote yourselves to an act of service for others, to care, to support, to be alongside. It might be to deny yourself of something that is not for you, as it would keep you from a close relationship with God. If you are not sure, then ask God to make it clear to you. But whatever it is, your life following Jesus will necessitate that you carry it. It is to become a central part of your life that will mean that other things will not be for the sake of obedience to that which God has chosen for you. We're going to watch a short clip from a film called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Originally written as a novel by John Boyle, it was made into a film by Mark Herman in 2008 that tells the story of two boys, both aged 8 years old, who strike up an unlikely friendship. One is the son of a German officer who is in charge of a Second World War Nazi Jewish camp. His name is Bruno, and the other is a prisoner in the camp. His name is Shmuel. They meet at the camp fence, Bruno on the one side, Shmuel on the other. The clip that we're about to see is where Shmuel tells Bruno that his father, who is also in the camp, has gone missing. He doesn't know where he is, he doesn't understand why. And in response, Bruno plans to help his friend.
Is everything all right? We can't find Papa. He went on a different work duty with some of the men, and they haven't come back. I've got some bad news too. I'm going away. How long for this time? That's why it's bad. It's forever, I think. Mum says this is no place for children. She's just stupid.
When do you go?
Tomorrow, after lunch.
So, I won't ever see you again?
Yes, you will. You can come on holiday to Berlin if you like. And everybody's getting on with each other again.
I wish I could have helped you find your dad.
I really want to make up for letting you down like I did. That would have done it, wouldn't it? Helping you find your dad. It would have been great, like a secret mission. I could dig under. we weren't.
No, but I could break something.
You don't want to come over here.
Look.
I could come through to your side.
What's the point in that? Your dad's not going to be over here, is he? But I'd stick out though, wouldn't I? If I came through. But I don't look like you.
You could look like me, though, if you dressed like me and shaved your hair off.
I'm not shaving my hair off.
You could cover it with a cap.
My pyjamas are a different colour.
I could bring some. There's a hut full of them. Thousands of them. Would you do it, though?
I want to do it.
Would you dare do it, though?
I want to help you find your dad.
I've got to go.
Tomorrow, then. I'll bring an extra big sandwich. And don't forget the pyjamas.
The following day, Bruno returns and puts on the same clothes as his imprisoned friend and digs his way into the camp to help him find his father. Suddenly, the boys are herded into a barn along with many other men and children, told to remove their clothing to have a shower, only to discover that the room that they are in is a gas chamber. In fear and in close friendship, the two boys hold hands, and Bruno tells his friend, "You are my best friend, Shmuel, my best friend for life." And there, holding hands, together they die. Can we see the way of Jesus in this story? Bruno had a choice. He doesn't have to enter the camp to be with his friend. He could stay on the other side, the safe side, and sympathize with his friend's loss of his father. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he enters the camp to be with his friend and to suffer with him, friends to the end. We can choose to stay on the safe side of the fence as well, to leave our cross on the ground, for our calling to be unfulfilled, to fail to be with those who need us, to be Jesus to them. As disciples of Jesus, we prefer Easter Sunday to Good Friday, but there's no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. What holds us back from taking up our cross daily in order to follow Jesus? Is it our sin, the sins we listed earlier, and those that we felt we dare not list, lest anyone would work out that it was us? Is it fear of what others might think of us, fear of failure, fear of rejection? Or is it that the cost seems too high? We're not prepared to pay it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we remember this day when you took up the cross that no one else could bear, that you went willingly for us, and now, Lord, you call us through our understanding of who you are to take up our cross that we might follow you. Today, this can be a new beginning. As we have confessed our sins and laid down those things before your cross, that you carried, the things that you took for us. We can begin again. Lord, guard us and protect us from the things of the past that might hold us back from taking up our cross today. Give us faith to believe that you would have us carry the cross in our lives. Guide us, Lord, if we're lacking that sense of awareness and discernment of what it is, if we've somehow suppressed it from our minds through our sin, through our management of our discipleship. And free us, Lord, free us from those restrictions. And help us to enter in the calling that you have upon each one of us, however great, however small, but it's the place where you are. It's the burden that you call us to carry with that lightness, with that ease and comfort of the yoke that you have crafted in wood for us, because you're the carpenter. And you will enable us as we step out in obedience each day. So be our help today, Lord. Meet us in this place. And may we not be found wanting. In Jesus' name, amen.